Every one of us is a different part of the body. And I just enjoyed Wednesday, all of us being together and as the body. And Brother Scott pointed out, he said, you know, that let's leave this on open on the table for everybody to have a time to share and speak. Because just being quiet, we don't know what each other's going through. We don't know what's happening. We're all parts of the body. And we all might need prayer, or we might be encouraged by maybe some pressure. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, is pressure. Everybody gets pressured in some area, and some may need uplifting. And when we were born again, no doubt about it, we're being translated from one atmosphere to another atmosphere and breathing in Father Yah, and that pressure is going to cause us to change. We have to have a character change. And let me lower this down a little bit. And my pressure might be greater than yours, or yours might be greater than mine. One might have this going on with them, and you might have that. I'll share some of my pressure. It might be different. It might not seem like a great pressure to you, but on my end, but this is what I'm going through. And that's what I've been through. You know, I had a fairly so good February where I wasn't so busy. I had plenty of time. And it's easy when you have plenty of time, when you're inundating yourself with the scriptures, when you're scrutinizing it, digging deep, and you're spending that time with the Father. And then all of a sudden you come to this next month and it gets really, really busy. And it's coming to your turn, but you spend a little time in the morning. You spend a little time in the evening. You're pausing during the day when you're around amidst a bunch of people on the boat, and You pause for a moment while nobody's looking around. You say, Father, I say anything today, please forgive me, Father. Because without you, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And so all this week, we had a lot of fog. And was running in the dark and in the fog. And I wish everybody in here, some of you already know what it is, to operate a radar instrument and a plotter instrument on a boat. But I can't tell you, this thing more closely relates with my relationship and my walk with Almighty Yah than anything I could ever explain in detail as an analogy. Because it takes time, just like it takes time with the Father, to get familiar with His ways, His likes and His dislikes. And you're in this radar, and you're learning this instrument, you got to be able to draw it up so close enough, because you don't want to run into something, that when you look behind you, you can see the little wake of your boat on that screen. You can see that detail. And you get familiar with it over years, over and over and over again. Like Brother Scott says, most of the time he runs with it on during the day just to continually familiarize himself with that instrument. And you're constantly getting familiar talking on the radio, knowing the channels and knowing the language on the boat, on the waters. North, south, east, west, you're learning all these things, and you learn it, and it takes some time. And when you're first learning it, I remember the first time I had to call on the radio, I was like, fishing vessel, you're nervous because you're making sure you're saying the right thing to somebody else. You're like, you're the new kid in the class. I haven't been here before, and you're learning this. But after you learn and get well with it, your fear, and you get more calm about it. You still have an awareness of being that somebody could be coming, and you got to be ready at any given time to call out, let them know you're there, do you see me, or move out the way. Get out the way, because danger. People's lives are at stake. Your life is at stake. And so running in the fog, I was thinking about it all this week, just the same way with the Ruach. Because before, being in the world, we relied on our minds and our thoughts. Our minds and our thoughts, at best, because of sin, we live in a sinful world. A death age, that's what we live in. And it's all over the place. But we got a signal. We got a signal that comes in. We get born again. And you get familiar with the scriptures. You get familiar with His character. And you get familiar with the Ruach. It's not what you think. It's not what you think. So this week I was pressured. But I was going along as I'm getting pressured. We got to go through pressure to change. As I'm getting pressured, I'm looking in the radar. And I did this purposely. I said, I want to look out and see what it's like to not look at my radar. And I purposely looked out. And it's deceiving, because it seems like you should be going that way. And you just slowly start to turn that way. When you look on the screen, You're going off course, and there's an obstruction right there, and you get it back on. And so every time I tried to look out in the fog, for some reason, for me, others it might be the right, but me, it's to the left. And you got to keep, it's like you almost got to force yourself to keep pulling to the right. It wants to, you want to go to the left, but it's really not that way. And that's how it is in the flesh when you're following after the Ruach, after the Spirit. It seems like I'm going to have to do this, I'm going to have to do that. I don't know how the day is going to go. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, as far as I'm reading about all our forefathers and all the record that he's given us about Job, Job has got all this business. He's worshiping and following the Father. He's listening to the Father. And he says he was a perfect man. He was doing what was right. And all of a sudden that day comes. Did he see that day coming? Did he know it was coming? Did he expect that day to come? That he comes to a day that, hey, a whirlwind came, took your children. All your children are gone. All your business, all the cattle's gone. All this is gone. Everything's gone. That doesn't feel good. It's painful. But you still got to trust in the Father in this. It's not what you think. And it took him through a process of pressure. And it takes you through a process of pressure and you learn. And right now we're still in Maketz. And we still learn about Yosef and his brothers and his father. And we're on chapter 42, verse 17 still. What I've been going through last week and in this week. And it says, and he put them all together in prison for 3 days. Now Yosef said to them the third day, do this and live, for I fear Elohim. And he put them all together in prison for 3 days. Now the pressure comes. Now when we're living and we're having to put on the character, the pressure comes. And these 3 days is more than just 3 days. Let me go on my notes here real quick. And getting back to what I was talking about the pressure, I was thinking about that today. When you go through the pressure and you start growing and familiarizing yourself with everything, you start yielding understanding. You start understanding that it's better to continually follow after the Ruach, after his Spirit, than to rely on your flesh. Your flesh is flawed at best. And so he does yield understanding to those who have been trained by it. So hold your place there in Hebrews 12, 11. And it comes with that discipline. You got to discipline yourself. This week when I was going through it, I was very tired. I was only getting so many hours of sleep. But it was my fault because I was waiting so long to go to bed. So what I did this week, I said, you know what? If I get a little short time, I'm going to get to bed early. So this is what I did this week. I got home. I looked at the clock. It's 5:30. I got me something to eat. I went and prayed. I went and read. And I got to bed at 6:30. I had 7 hours of sleep. I felt so good when I woke up this morning. I wasn't so tired. You just got to learn to discipline yourself. And keep learning to fix those things and make those adjustments. It's not like the freedom I had in February. Now you got March, and it's busy, busy time. There's times I wasn't so busy, and there's times that you do get busy. And indeed, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but grievous. But afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, to those who have been trained by it. And I was thinking about that today. To those who have been trained by it. That instrument took me some time, years, being on the water over and over and over. And finally, once you understand that you got to be led by his Ruach, be led by his Spirit, and you're reading everything, and the Master's telling you through his word, you're this instrument, and you're finally understanding that, what's that word for it again? You've been trained by it. You've been trained by it. And that's what it is. You get trained by it. And that also goes to Devarim chapter 8, verse 2. There's a footnote there. And you shall remember that Yehovah your Elohim led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you to know what is in your heart, whether you guard his commands or not. And remember, now our characters are changing. We're going from being in the flesh, and now we've got to learn to grow in the spirit. And Pastor mentioned one time on Shabbat, he said, this is his story. Yosef is living his plan and his story. It's not Yosef's plan and story. It's Jehovah's plan and story. And so now we're learning that things just don't go the way we expected them to go a lot of times. This is his plan and his story. And that's when the pressure really comes, because you really want to, and at some point, like that instrument, you got to learn to put into and do the things that he says. He says, and this is the commands and laws and right rulings. I was reading Devarim chapter 6, verse 1, and this is the commands and laws and right rulings that Yehovah has given you in the land that you are passing over, crossing over. We talked about 3 days in the scripture. You got 3 days. They had 3 days to get it right, to live. He said, you got 3 days. So I was thinking about those 3 days. You know, we're in an age that we're all going to die, all right? Everybody's going to die. 3 days to me relates to each and every one of us has a time frame. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. I don't know. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We didn't expect certain things to happen this past week. Nobody wanted that to happen. I didn't expect things to happen like that this week. It's on the roll. I got Yehovah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I didn't expect things, but you get pressured. But these 3 days, if you think about it, we have a time frame. We have only so much time. In this age, because of sin, death should have happened to all of us. We shouldn't be alive today. But because of his love towards us, he gave us time. Time is the most valuable thing that we have on our side right now. We have time to do what? To change, to get his character on. And we're learning it through what he's left for us through in the Torah, through the story of Yosef, and the things that he's going through with his brothers, and the pressure's on. They got 3 days. Got 3 days. And so there's a crossover. And I thought about Abraham. Now, Abraham, he had to cross over. He had to get to that point and take Yehovah by the hand. He had to cross over the threshold, and he had to stay in the boundaries. And now what we do, when we come to Christ and we get born again, there's a threshold. He washes and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all our crooked ways, all our thoughts, everything that's leading us to death, and gives us a brand new start. And now we're inside the boundaries. And we got to stay in the boundaries and have days. And you know when you do it, because you're led by the Ruach. You know when you do it. When even the thought would come, you feel the guilt automatically. I'm starting to feel that guilt before you speak, before you say, before you look at something or think of something. And when you cross it, the guilt hits you like a ton of bricks. And you already know automatically, once you've been seasoned enough, like that radar, that instrument, I'm offline. I think I know where I'm going, but I don't. I'm lost. That's what lost means. I'm lost. I don't know where I'm going. And that caused you to get back over here. Father, please forgive me. I come before you. I bow down before you because there's a short wall that's in front of me, and it's very pointy. Just like Shaul, he come to that pointy wall, and Yeshua arrested him. Same way. And you got to get across that. You got to repent. Cleanse me and blot out all my transgressions. In Psalms 51, just like Sister Becky talked about. Whatever's in my heart. I'm getting pressured right now, but whatever it is that needs to be adjusted. And that's for each and every one of us in the body here. We only have so much time. It's very valuable. We don't know. But this is what the flesh does. Our flesh is corrupt. And it's in Corinthians chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Our wisdom is corrupt. We think we can lead ourselves in a certain way. We think this is the better way. It's a whole lot easier this way. And we keep spending time in the same spot, not moving. But you've got to move. The pressure is on purpose so that we'll move towards Him. The pressure comes. But your mind keeps, that's why you got to repent, because you need the Ruach. You done lost the channel. You done lost the connection. You got to have the connection. I can't tell you how many times a day I repent now, just to make sure. Sometimes no guilt, but I just want to make sure. I might have said something to somebody on the boat today that I didn't really realize was ugly. I don't know. And I forgive anybody today. And Father, when I ask that you forgive, I ask, Father, that my enemies and everybody in every nation all over the earth, because you said you wish that none would perish, that all would come to everlasting life. There's a hope for somebody. Shaul was an enemy. He was an enemy persecuting the body of Yeshua. He was an enemy. So we can't go towards Palestinians and go, yeah, it's good that that's happening to them. That's not right. Because they're all God's creation. He loves them too, and He wishes that we pray for our enemies, because they might have hope for just one to be pulled in like Ruth. There could be one. We got to love everybody. We know things that come against us. It hurts. Yeshua was hurt really bad, but He loved, because His Father loved, and He caught on to that. But this age is a dying age because of sin, and it's not heavenly at all. Remember, that's why we pray, heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this daily bread. When we're disconnected, we no longer have the heavenly connection. We no longer can hear. We're no longer relying on Him. We're back to over here outside the boundaries again. We're back in darkness again. And then we can't be light for somebody that's in the darkness. We've got to be light for somebody in the darkness. That's why it's important that we stay here. We have to stay in here. Because when we're in here, we're being a light for somebody. It's a very, very dark place, and it's going to come to an end. This age is going to end. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. It's going to change. Everything has to die. Everything has to change in this age, because it's tainted with sin. It's unclean. And that's why we constantly got to stay inundated with the scriptures, because we're in a very dark world. But the time is very valuable. And each day, this is what we're given that word. I love that word. Like apples of gold and settings of silver. It's such a timely word. I wanted to give a word like Brother Scott was given. I wanted to give a word like Pastor was given 2 weeks ago. And I got afraid during the week. And then things that happened that I said, hey, I called him. I said, listen, I'm real busy this week. I'm going through a fearful time right now. I'm being pressured. I don't know if I'll be able to bring it like y'all bring it, because I don't have enough time to spend like y'all do. And he says, me and the brothers will take care of it. Me and the brothers will take care of it. And so during the week, starting on Wednesday, going through Friday, I said, you know what I want to do? I want to test and see how this week really would have went if I would have decided to just go with it. And it just so happened to be on Friday, things happened that we had to be in early and be done. I was done way, way early. I could have had time to, and the Father's like, yeah? Well, yeah, you could have, but I was afraid. But you go through those times. You learn. You got to grow through it. The pressure comes. I said, well, this week, it's just going to have to happen. Look, it's not what you think. It's not what you think. You got to let me guide and direct you. Let me be in control. Let me be in charge, just like I was with Yosef, just like I was with Yeshua. Let me be in charge. I said, okay, here I am. And every time I'd be on my boat at the end of the day, like today, I got in early today too. I got in early today, and I had time. I told myself today, I said, I get in early today. It's throw the fish away today. Because the guys had 2 days of fishing. They had so much fish in abundance, they had almost too much to take on the plane to go back to Pennsylvania. So they said, tomorrow's going to be catch and release day. Well, I said, okay, I'm not going to keep none. We're going to throw them all back. So I have enough time when I get in, you know, to rest my mind. And when I get out there, we start catching them like Indiana. Indiana, we can do this. Indiana, I can do this. So I start throwing sheep's head. I start throwing all our limits of reds. I start throwing all this in the boat, speckled trout. When we get in, it's early. And I said, you know what? I just clean these fish. No, you got time. Do it now. So I picked up the fish, and my customer said, hey, while you clean them, we're going to bag them. I'm like, okay. So we got together and got it all done. And I got them at the house in Ziploc bags. I just got to, you know, shrink wrap them, freeze them, get them ready for a little bit here, a little bit there like we do. Before you know it, you'll have enough for when we serve 200. Amen. You just got to trust in the Father. You don't know. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I was a corrupt at best. So sin is a transgression of his commands. His coon is concrete, is immovable. His character is immovable. His character is eternal. And so I've been telling this to a lot of people because it's a whole lot better to say this than law. You say character. I tell a lot of people that in the boat. I say, you know, in God's word in English, it says laws. Going fast, going slow, speed limit, this and that, because you want to speed up a little bit, slow down. But when you look at when you're obeying his laws, you are putting on his character, his likes and his dislikes, which is concrete and solid and movable. It's eternal. The character that we have right now is flawed. It doesn't last. It's going to die. And it has to die. And so his ways and his patterns, his character is what we need. So the Ruach is there in any given time, and you'll be faced with encountering people and will speak what's on your mind, negative, which is damaging, or positive and life-giving. So I've been practicing a lot to pause before I speak. There's things that's been happening during the week that I pause and listen, and I go back and say, if I would have said this or that, it would have got to this one or that one, and when I come back full circle, that wouldn't have been good. That would be profaning the name of Yehovah. So be very careful how you speak around people, because it can get around and back to you, because this one knows this one, that one knows that one, this one knows this one. Before you know it, everything that you're supposed to say, oh, that's who Yehovah is? That's what he says? That's what he does? So you got to be very careful. And it's taking time to get used to this instrument of the character of Yehovah. And so now we got two voices to listen to. We got the air. We talked about, I think the word is Asaph. Asaph with the Aleph and the Samach and the Pei. And so we're breathing in his air, and we listen and adjust it. Adah, we look up to the door to him and everything in our speech and everything that we do. But then there's other times that the tempter comes to tempt us in something that we really like, which is not a good thing to do. And so there's two voices to listen to. There's the voice which is the prince and power of the air, and there's the voice of Yehovah. So there's two voices that we've got to deal with on a daily basis, every day. And speaking of voices, so we got through the guilt, and we got through the fear, and then I wasn't here at Midrash. We had to leave and go to town. And I got with Brother Scott, and I said, well, what happened in Midrash? Did we get the next part? Well, Shimon. I said, what is Shimon? Shimon means heard. I'm like, oh, Shimon means heard. And so that's a root word of Shema. So it says, oh, Shema, hear, O Israel, listen. Now it's time to listen. We got to make sure we're listening to the right voice. This is what we're learning all this for. This is what we're getting acquainted with the scriptures and all the record. And how to get familiar with this instrument and our walk, so we make sure we're on the right path and we don't get off. Because I'm telling you, in that fog, you got the radar, which is the Ruach. You got the plotter, which is the track line you stay on. That's Yeshua HaMashiach. We follow on his path. I'm keeping in tune with him. And that's how I've been looking at this as a great analogy for my life. And it's been helping me a lot. And so as we're going through this walk, we're proven to show Yehovah that I'm trustworthy. And so when you go through the guilt, and knowing what you know now, you really feel the guilt and say, now I can't be trustworthy. Now I got to start all over again. So maybe these days or these weeks that I can get to where he can say, All right, I can trust you that. If you're faithful with few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. I can find you trustworthy. And you'll find yourself guilty in that area, like, man, I got to get this right because I got to find that I'll be trustworthy before him. And that's what it is, trustworthy. And he put them all together in prison for 3 days. Now Yosef said to them the third day, do this and live, for I fear Elohim. If you are trustworthy, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, and you go, bring grain for the scarcity of food of your houses. And bring your youngest brother to me, and let your words be confirmed, and you do not die. And so they did. And the pressure was on for them. They had to make a decision. This is life or death. And they said to each other, truly, we are guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the distress of his life when he pleaded with us, yet we did not listen. That is why this distress has come upon us. And so when you're reading this, Yosef is only speaking in the same way with the father's telling him. That's what Yeshua did. He only spoke what the father told him to speak. And so now they're being inspected. We're being inspected. Because afterwards, what is going to be said about you? Because somebody's going to say something about us. And we find in Luke 23, verse 4, about Yeshua, we talked about that, and Pilate said to the chief priests in the crowd, I find no guilt in this man. There's the inspection. I find no guilt in this man. And in Shaul, in Acts chapter 26, verse 31, this man is doing none at all deserving death or chains. This man is doing none at all that deserves death or chains as an inspection. And it's being said openly. Let's check out Kepha. Let's check out his inspection when he denies Yeshua. In Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75. Inspection. And Kepha sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, and you were with Yeshua of Galil. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you say. And as he was going out in the porch, another girl saw him and said to those there, and this was with Yeshua, this one was with Yeshua of Nazareth. But again, he denied an oath. I do not know the man. And after a while, those who stood by came to him and said to Kepha, truly you're one of them, for even your speech gives you away. Even your speech gives you away. I was talking right before service. You can run, but you can't hide. Everything's going to be shown forth in front of everybody, everything, everywheres. And the Father's got you. Remember, who's in charge? Jehovah's in charge of everything. He's the authority that's in charge of everything. Look at Job's life. Job, it proved that he was in authority over his life. Even he called Hasatan to put him in check. And he said, let me touch all his body and see if he doesn't deny you. And he says, touch his hope, do whatever you want, but you can't kill him. And still, scraping his body, he still didn't deny the Father, and he bowed in obeisance, sechah, before Yehovah. Inspection time. He went through a lot. Yeshua went through a lot, even to the point, Father, why have you forsaken me? But still, he held. Then he began to curse and to swear. Think he's a little bit outside the boundaries? He's done stepped outside the boundaries. We know where this goes later on, but this is at this point in time right here. When Yeshua's getting beat on, punched on, slapped on. The Torah's getting proven and getting proven and getting proven. And this wasn't supposed to be for him. This was supposed to be for you and me. We were supposed to get this penalty. So we have an opportunity, a frame, a time frame to get it right before it comes. I was reading about the 10 virgins. There were 5 wise and there were 5 unwise. And the time came when the master was to come. And the 5 unwise went to the wise and says, "Give us some of yours." He says, "We can't. You go to the, you buy and sell. It's like Pastor said, you can't rely on, I was thinking about messages. We can take all of Faith Temple Ministries' messages, and I can bring them to my house, and I can listen to them all day long, and I can memorize them, and I can go to somebody in the street or somebody in town and tell them all about the message, but it's not helping me. You're just copying something and giving it. They learned all their lives to just rely on somebody else's message. You can't just keep relying on somebody else's message. You got to get all in your lamp. You got to get your character right. I got to get my character right. That's not getting the character right. And when they came back, it was too late. The door's closed. They weren't supposed to be doing that. What they were supposed to be doing, having their relationship, their personal relationship with the Father, and learning like Yeshua did. Learning like all of them learned. Learning like Kepha did. Learning like Shaul did. They would even die because they knew that there's an age that's coming that's immortal, eternal. This one, they can't even compare. We're all going to die, but we could be light while we got a chance because we're going to live. Death is not good when you don't know much about life, but now you know about life and what it is, and His word is eternal life. You want to cling to that and be that now. That's what you want to be. And he began to curse and swear, "I don't know the man." And immediately a cock crowed. And Kepha remembered the word of Yeshua, who had said to him, "Before a cock crows, you shall deny me 3 times. 3 times, going out, he wept bitterly. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 and 22. "For to this you were called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth," in his speech. No deceit was found in his mouth. And that's, his speech gave him away. Our speech gives us away. We can paint our life however we want in this prison of age. You know, we're all subdued. We're all captured right now. We're in a prison. And, you know, people live, I look at it now, people live to go to college, to get the best job, to make the most money, to get the biggest house, not realizing you are in an age where you're going to die. We're all going to die. And so we paint it up, and it's a false deception that we're trying to live our best life now that's going to end, and that's not true. The truth is for us to put on a character that's going to be eternal and live on with the Father. But that's what it's like in the world, to not know. Everybody's deceived, and there's this material world. I remember there's this song we used to listen to when I was in the world, a material world. Living in a material world. That's what it says. You're living in a material world. The enemy's got you. You're trapped in a material world, and you're not getting out of this bottle. You're stuck in death, but you're just trying to get by. And, we're going to live our best life and do the best we can. I wish I can do all this and do all that and have all I can right now while I can until I grow old, because I know I'm going to die. And that's not it. That's a false deception. That's not true. But you don't know that until you start reading and asking the Father to show you and have somebody that may be a light for you to show you what the truth is. Time is valuable. We paint our life however we want in this prison of an age, and death is coming, and there's only one way out. Time is valuable, and what we say and do is very valuable. He gave us time, and He gave us grace. Deuteronomy 4. So learning and applying Jehovah's character with the time we have and portraying that before the people who are all around you, portraying that to the people that are all around us. Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 and 6. See, I have taught you laws and right rulings as Jehovah my Elohim commanded me to do thus in the land which you go to possess. We're crossing over. This was just a little example of being in a covenant crossing over. You crossed over, you're not there yet, but you're here trying to explain and live what is going to be there in the millennial to come, an eternal millennial to come. It's a crossover. That's what the wilderness was all about. 40 years in the wilderness, they didn't get it right. 40 years, we're in the wilderness right now. This is our wilderness. But we're supposed to be light, salt and light of the earth before we get there. It says, and you shall guard and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding before the eyes of the peoples who hear all these laws, and they shall say, only a wise and understanding people is this great nation. That's what we're supposed to be doing here. Deuteronomy 6, 14 and 15. He says, do not go after other mighty ones. The mighty ones of the peoples are all around you. That's what we came out of. For Jehovah Elohim is a jealous El in your midst, lest the displeasure of Jehovah Elohim burn against you, and he shall destroy you from the face of the earth. As it was with Job, prosperous and prosperous, then in the next minute, he's stripped. Yehovah's in charge and authority over all. Shekha. Remember that. In Genesis 42, we just talked about that a little bit, in 17 and 18, and he put them all together in prison for 3 days. Now Yosef said to them the third day, do this and live, for I fear Elohim. 3 days. And we're all in the same spot. 3 days. You have life and you have death. We talked about blessing and cursing. So choose life. And like Yosef's brothers, we have to decide to confess our guilt and get our character right. We are on a time frame. Time is very valuable. Reuben confessed. There's somebody else that I read that confessed. It's in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, 39 and 43. The Father is so good to us. He is so good to us. And one of the evildoers who were hanged was speaking evil of him, saying, if you're the Messiah, save yourself and us. But the other responded and rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear Elohim? Do you not even fear Elohim since you are under the same judgment? When we're guilty, we're under judgment. Guilty is judgment. And we indeed rightly, so far we receive due reward for our deeds. He understood this. We deserve what we're getting. The reward of our deeds. But this one has done no wrong. He's confessing. He just confessed. We did wrong. We deserve what we're getting, but he don't deserve what he's getting. That really truly belongs to us, not him. And Yeshua said to him, he said to Yeshua, Master, remember me when you come in your reign. He's about to die. He's done. He's on his deathbed. He gets a second chance that day. Someone ever count anybody out? And Yeshua said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. I'm going to be in the garden, in the paradise. He understood that. He confessed his guilt. Time is valuable. You know, we talked about Shimon and his confinement. Some of us might not have that much of a confinement, but there's some things that we still ain't learned lessons in. Sometimes we might have to be put in more of a confinement, like Shimon did. Some of us a little bit more hard-headed. I got told that a lot when I was little. Well, quit being, my grandpa used to tell me, well, you're hard-headed. Hard-headed. I told you three times. I told you this many times. You're hard-headed. How many times I've heard that? They got this guy that comes on my boat with his little boy. And they speak that Lafayette language. You're hard-headed. Yeah, you're hard-headed. That boy hard-headed. He don't listen to nothing. The boy gets all loud on hard-head. Like that rock right there, hard-head. How many times we've been through so many things, and so many times I come to that spot again, you're like, I don't deserve to live. I don't know how many times I got to do this, go through this, the 40 million times. You're hard-headed. Shimon, hard-headed. But now he's in a spot. He's being subdued. And Shaul got subdued by Yeshua. And he was the enemy. And I think about that. Many that left his church. I said, Father, you know when and how to subdue anybody and everybody. I'm just going to keep lifting up. Keep lifting up. And I just thank you, Father. It's not my will, but let your will be done. You know, at best, I don't know. But I thank you, Father, for whatever you want to do. In Matthew 24, verse 42. Sooner or later, we got to get our character right to be found trustworthy. It says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your master is coming. Talking about time again. Know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Because of this, be ready too, for the Son of Adam is coming at an hour when you don't expect him. Who then is a trustworthy and wise servant whom his master set over his household to give them food in season? But even if you think about Reuben, you think about him, what was his confession still? He wasn't willing to give up his life. He was going to give up his kids. You don't give up your kids. You would give your life for your kids. You don't give your kids for life. You would give yourself. So that just showed some flaws that he had work to do still. And even thinking about way ahead, when it gets to Yosef's brothers, and they have the funeral for their father, they in a panic, oh, Joseph is really going to get us now because our father's gone. They're still having trouble. And so the scriptures are reflecting on us when we read, when we're reading about all these brothers, and we're reading all right now in Maketz, we're reading about what's selfless, and what's selfish. We've got to learn not to be selfish. We've got to be selfless. Brother Scott mentioned the Patriot, and I was so thankful that he mentioned that, because I was weeping back there when he said that, because everybody be falling out like flies, but there's three or four of you left. And so I never watched that movie, so I went back and looked at the clip, and I saw him retreating, and he turns and grabs the flag. He said, hold the line, hold the line, hold the line. I'm like, oh, it reflects. Things are happening, going down, but you still got to hold up the line. You still got to be a light. Shaul, he went way past. I mean, way past. All the way he knew going to Jerusalem, he was going to end it right there. But he knew that we're going to die anyway. Why not die doing it for the life that we're supposed to live and saving people's lives through the life that I live and being martyred for it? Stephanos, he got martyred for it. Speaking the gospel. Preaching everything, all what was written in the records. He was speaking it, and he got stoned to death. Upholding the truth. Martyred upholding the truth. In Genesis, we went through that one already. Genesis 50, 15, you don't need to go to it, but that was when Joseph's brothers saw their father was dead. They said, what if Joseph hates us and puts back all the evil which we did to him? They were still stuck in that spot. They still had character flaws. I want to look in and dissect a little bit this one scripture in Genesis, in Bereshit 15, verse 1, about Abraham. Because now when you're reading scriptures, and when you're looking at it, you're trying to dissect every little word in the Hebrew and the pictograph meanings and how it fits and how it goes to this. And so I went back and I was looking at this. Let me look at this in Bereshit 15:1. It says, after these events, the word of Yehovah came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward is exceedingly great. So I looked at three words in this paragraph, in a sentence. I looked at vision, I looked at afraid, and I looked at shield. So I'm going to start with vision. It came to Abraham in a vision. So we in our church, in this church right here, we learn when you look into his character, when we look into his glory, you will be instantly changed. So in Bereshit 15, verse 1, vision. Vision is machazet. It's Strong's H4236. Perceive is the ability to see beyond what is seen. It's the ability to see what's beyond seen in the physical present as a light piercing through the darkness. When you say, when you look into my glory, it gives you vision. You can see something you've never seen before. He's given vision to Abraham first. He gives him vision. Remember, my thoughts and my ways are not your thoughts. That's what Pastor started way, way back in the beginning. What is this glory, Father? I don't know what this is. You're giving me something. He said he had to scrutinize the scriptures. He had to pray and ask and seek. And he's giving him a vision, something that you can't see in the darkness. It's light. And then the word afraid is yare. We talked about that. This afraid, a throwing of the finger to show a direction to walk or live. The throwing of an arrow, the throwing down of water in the rain is a direction. It's a course. It flows. Awe, a fear, where one throws self to the foot of the one in authority. So now he's got a vision, and he's throwing himself at the feet of the one who's in authority right now. He has Abraham's attention. And when we talk about Shimon, he's listening. He's listening now. Abraham's listening. He's got my attention. That's what we should be doing in this church. He should have our attention. Shield, Strong's H4043. McGann. The shield or buckler. It's the gimel, which is the foot, and it's the noon, which is the life and the seed. The pictograph gimel is a picture of the foot. It means to walk with an extended meaning to gather. The noon is a picture of a sprouting seed. Combined, these mean a gathering of the seeds. A garden is a place for growing crops and is often surrounded by a rock wall or hedge to protect it from grazing animals. We live in a dark age, a world, and it wants to eat us up just like rabbits want to come and eat up in that garden. But it's got to be shielded and protected. You got to put something sharp. Yehovah is our sharpness that's all around us and keeping us. He's the sharp protector wall inside the boundaries. But if you get outside the boundaries, the darkness is going to eat you alive. It will eat you up. The more you sin, the worse it gets. That's why all through the ages, our forefathers to us today went from 900 to 800. The more you sin, the more it eats you up. It eats you up. It eats you alive. But the more you stay in here, the more your life preserves. He says, I give you more life because you keep my words. You keep my commands. I give you long life, long-lasting life. His word is eternal. His word is health to our flesh and to our bones. But sin keeps pulling it away. It's a way that seems right to a man, but it's in his death. It keeps pulling us away. It keeps destroying us. We live in a dark age and world, and it wants to eat us up. Like a garden, animals will come and eat it up without a hedge. Tender little green shoots. Remember, the roots are growing down into the ground, digging deep into the word. And it's growing up to the heavens, going up. But those little animals are going to come, if you and I are in a protected hedge, going to eat your shoots alive. And before you know it, you'll be back out and out of darkness and won't even know where you are, lost. So there's a reward for listening, and it will be great. In Genesis 15, 12 through 18, And it came to be when the sun was going down and a deep sleep fell on Avram, that, see, a frightening great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Avram, know for certain that your seed are to be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. But the nation whom they serve I am going to judge, and afterward let them come out with great possessions. How many know we are tent dwellers here? We are tent dwellers. We're only here for a temporary time. And we have an exceedingly great reward to come crossing over as we go through here. And it came to be when the sun went down and it was dark, that see a smoking oven and a burning torch passing between those pieces. On the same day, Jehovah made a covenant with Avram. That word passing right there is avar. Strong's H5674. That's what we're doing. We're crossing over. We're passing over. It means to pass over or by or through. Alienate, bring, carry, do away, take away, transgress, to pass beyond, to go over, to march over. The crossing over or passing through a land or a water to gain access to the side beyond. That's where we're going. That's our destination. The final destination for people in this age with Yehovah is death. This is the final destination. We're all going to die here. But we have hope, and we have eternal life staying in the boundaries to get to there. You got to endure to the end to get to there. You can't be sidetracked by your flesh, by the thoughts, by the things that are around you. Allah is an enemy. He don't stop, and he's not going to stop. And like Pastor said on Wednesday, his goal is not to love you or like you and give you all the fancy things that he's trying to deceive you with. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He's your enemy. And death is our enemy. But we escape death right here. We got to stay in the covenant. We got to stay in the covenant. And we got to keep listening to the Ruach. The Ruach takes some time and training. But the feast days are a gimme. That should be easy. That's a gimme. The covenant is a gimme. We learned this too many times. We should know this already. It's a gimme. The feast days are a gimme. It's the other things in our character. We have flaws we're working on. That's those things that if we don't work on them, it may one day keep us from the end crossing over. Because he'll say, I don't know you. We don't want to have that happen. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And Yeshua said on the same day when evening came, he said to them, let us pass over where? To the other side. We're going to the other side. That means something when he says that. We're going to the other side. And having left the crowd, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And there came a great what? A windstorm. Pressure. Pressure's going to come. A great windstorm, and the waves beating the boat so that it was already being filled. And he was in the stern. What he was? He was asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, teacher, it isn't any concern to you that we perish? And having been awakened, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace be still. Shalom. He said, shalom. That's what happens once you start trusting the radar long enough and you're getting used to the instruments and you're scrutinizing the scriptures. You get to a shalom. We had Shabbat this Saturday, and I can't even remember what it was. But it hit me so hard, the shalom about it. When we got in the kitchen, you could ask Scott. I was sitting there holding my plate in my hand, staring at the lettuce, just weeping. I just couldn't help it. It just had me weeping and weeping. He's like, you're going to stare at the lettuce all day? I'm like, I can't, I don't even want to eat right now. I'm just weeping and weeping. The shalom that I have right now because of today, what I got to hear, is incredible. But he had shalom. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Have you not yet believed? Have you not yet believed? And they feared exceedingly and asked each other, who then is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? Remember, we're crossing over. He was already crossed over. He was already there already. He was at peace about it all. He was constantly inundated with the Father and the Scriptures. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, and this is the command and the laws and right rulings which Jehovah Elohim has commanded you to teach you to do in the land which you are passing over to possess. Passing over, abar, it's the same word. Abar, passing over to possess. And you can go look at all those scriptures for yourself. We don't have time tonight, but Deuteronomy 6, 2 through 10, it tells you, I'll just go ahead and read it. So that you fear Yehovah your Elohim, respect him, to guard all his laws and his commands that I command you, you, your son, your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days be prolonged. And you shall hear Shema, Yisrael, and shall guard to do that it might be well with you, that you increase greatly as Yehovah your Elohim of your fathers has spoken to you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Shema, hear, Yisrael. Yehovah your Elohim is Echad, he's one. And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart. You shall impress them upon your children, speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, and shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And it shall be when Yehovah your Elohim brings you into the land of which he swore to your forefathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, to give you great and good cities which you did not build. So in all of this, we're putting on his commands, which is his character. We're putting on his immovable hikun, his immovable character. We're crossing over. That's what we're doing right now. We're crossing over, breathing his breath tonight. We're in his atmosphere right now. We are shielded about by him right now. And those who aren't here, we lift them up to him tonight. And all those, I have a little paper up there. Who gave that to me? Sister Felicia gave me a little paper with people that I want to be prayed for. We're in the atmosphere. We're in the heavenlies. We could lift it up to him, and it'd be a sweet-smelling fragrance to his nostrils that he would hear our prayers and answer them for those people. Amen. People need somebody to pray for them. I'm running out of time. What time is it? I'm good? Okay. So you stay in that atmosphere, and we stay in there. Though you die, you shall be raised at his coming. Death can't hold what stays in the boundaries of the covenant of Yeshua. But I come across this word while I was doing my studies, but we have to minnow. We have to stay in him. And that's in John 15, 3 through 12. You are already clean. I love to hear that. You are already clean. We're constantly trying to stay clean. You have to stay clean so death can't hold you. If you're dirty, death can hold you. Yeshua was clean. That's why death couldn't hold him. Death is our enemy. It's a mean and evil thing. We hate it. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Minnow, stay in me, and I stay in you. As the branch is unable to bear fruit of itself. I tell him that. I say, Father, it's a little, listen, it's not what you think. Let me lead you and guide you. Let me be the guidance. And that's what I do. And that's what he does. As the branch is unable to bear fruit of itself, unless it stays in the vine, so neither you, unless you stay in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who minnows stays in me, and I in him. He bears much fruit, because without me you can't do anything. I'm lost without you. I've already tasted enough and seen that you are so good and you're so able, and I don't understand some things, and some things have just come across your path you didn't expect this week or tomorrow. And it hits you hard, and it's a lot of pressure. But he knows. He knows. And he's going to help and guide us through it. Don't give up. Trust in him. Rely on him. He's going to help us through it all. If anyone does not stay in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. What happens then when you get outside them boundaries? You're going to start drying up. You was relying on the water, the living water, to live. Your plant was growing. Your roots was growing deep. Now, all of a sudden, no more water. I tell you what, if I don't water them flowers every now and again, they start withering up. You got to give them some water. If anyone does not stay in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. Keep it as frontless between your eyes, doorposts on your house and on your gates. You got to keep it around you all the time. So the branch dries up, they gather and throw them in a fire, and they are burned. If you stay in me and my word stays in you, remember, cocoon, immortal, concrete words, his character. You're keeping his character. If you stay in me and my word stay in you, you shall ask whatever you wish. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I missed it. And they gather them and throw them in a fire, and they are burned. If you stay in me and my word stay in you, you shall ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. And rather it happens or it doesn't happen, we don't count nothing against him. We just say, we're okay with it, Father, whatever you say. Whatever you say. Like Job, he had to be all right with it. He's in charge. In this my Father is esteemed, that you bear much fruit, and you shall be my taught ones. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Stay in my love. If you guard my commands, you shall stay in my love, even as I have guarded my Father's commands and stay in his love. These words I have spoken to you, so that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be complete. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. So now I was going to get on the corrupted thoughts. Because our minds are being renewed. Our minds are being renewed. We got to process through the wilderness. This world we live in every day is our wilderness. We talked about that. Revelations 21. This was important. Revelations 21. You can write in your notes if you want to. Right before this, I wanted to mention two verses of Scripture. Isaiah 65, 1 and 2. I'll read them. You can write it down in your notes. He says, I have let myself be inquired of, not by those who asked, I was found. Not by those who sought me, I said, here I am, to a nation not calling on my name. I have held out my hands all day long to a stubborn people who walk in a way that is not good after their own thoughts. So that's why I went to those two scriptures there, because of corrupted thoughts. We can't rely on our corrupted thoughts. But in this Revelations 21, verse 1, I saw a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. For the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea is no more. And I, Yohanan, saw the set-apart city renewed, Jerusalem, coming down out of the heavens from Elohim, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Everything's going to be straight. Everything's going to be getting put back together the way it's supposed to be. And I heard a loud voice from the heavens saying, see, the booth of Elohim is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former matters have passed away. We're crossing over, passed away. And he who was sitting on the throne, see, I make all matters new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and trustworthy. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. The one who thirsts, I shall give of the fountain of water of life without payment. It's free, without payment. The one who overcomes shall inherit all this, and I shall be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But, conjunction, but for the cowardly, the untrustworthy, the abominable, the murderers, those who whore, those drug sorcerers, idolaters, all the false, their part is in the lake which burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Remember, Yeshua's plans for us are Jehovah's plans. But go back, and I got a lot to cover. I'm not going to cover it tonight. But there's a lot to cover when you go in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, all of these right here are about the wisdom of the wisdom. Boy, it's really good though. At least go to 1 Corinthians. I'll just read two or three verses just to give a take of what's being talked about here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the stake is indeed foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of Elohim. For it has been written, I shall destroy the wisdom of the wise and set aside the learning of the learned ones. Where's the wise? Where's the scholar? Where's the debater of this age? He says, this age. Has not Elohim made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of Elohim, the world through wisdom did not know Elohim, it pleased Elohim through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. And since the Yehudim ask a sign and the Greeks seek wisdom, yet we proclaim Messiah impaled to the Yehudim as a stumbling block and to the Greeks as foolishness. But to those who are called, both Yehudim and Greeks, Messiah, the power of Elohim and the wisdom of Elohim. For the foolishness of Elohim is wiser than men, and the weakness of Elohim is stronger than men. For look at your calling, brothers, that there was not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but Elohim has chosen the foolish matters of the world to put to shame the wise, and Elohim has chosen the weak of the world to put to shame the strong. I'm just going to stop right there. It's a lot to read. It's a lot to take in at this point in time. It's just too much. But it talks about you could take 10,000 of the nation's highest leaders with their wisdom, and you could just take one man that's listening to the spirit of Elohim and override every one of them because theirs is corrupt. The wisdom of this age is corrupt. It doesn't understand the things of Elohim. And so we just got to take it in that we got to listen to his Ruach. We got to listen to his word and his spirit. And so we're going to end it right there, and I need to get that little list to pray for Sister Felicia's people. And if anybody else has any prayers tonight, we'll go before the Father.